Chapter 41, The Mask of Obedience. A week had passed since Melissa's last faltered attempt to prove her obedience before Marcus. The training room at the Slave Academy hummed with quiet tension, its unadorned walls and wooden floor a stark stage for Melissa's test. She stood at the center, collar glinting, Melissa Maurer, property of Marcus Wagner, her exposed feet steady after weeks of drills. Marcus sat at a low table, Zahara beside him, her dark eyes glinting with anticipation. Victor leaned against the wall, arms crossed, his gaze sharp as ever, while Zuri lingered near the door, whip coiled like a silent threat. This was Melissa's chance. A flawless performance could earn her a brief release from these walls, a taste of the world beyond. Victor nodded to Marcus.
Start with the poses. Let's see her foundation.
Marcus straightened, his voice firm despite a flicker of nerves.
Attention!
Melissa snapped into it, feet apart, hands behind her head, back rigid. No hesitation this time, the whip's memory from the last evaluation driving her.
Kneel,
he said next. She dropped smoothly, knees kissing the floor, eyes down.
Worship.
Her forehead met the wood, hands beside her head, precise and swift. Marcus circled her, nodding. Melissa's stomach churned as she moved through the poses, her body bending like a puppet on strings. She hated this, every command a reminder of her powerlessness. But she complied, the memory of Carla and the box echoing in her mind. The whip, once a horrible, demeaning punishment, now felt like a mere warning. If she failed to heed the warning strokes of the whip, the box awaited, a fate far worse than welts. Embarrassment burned in her chest at how vulnerable she'd become, how easily they could break her with that threat. She kept her face blank, unwilling to let Marcus see the leverage he held over her, the fear that gnawed at her resolve.
Stand.
She rose, fluid and obedient. Victor's lips twitched. Her body had learned its part.
Good,
Marcus said, stepping back to the table.
Now serve us, coffee and snacks. Zahara's with me.
He gestured to a tray on a side table, a pot, cups, and a plate of Grabesian flatbreads. Melissa moved to it, lifting the tray with practiced care, as she had learned in her lessons in culture and serving at the academy. She approached Marcus first, kneeling beside him.
Master, your coffee,
she said, voice even, placing the cup before him with a slight tremble she hid. He took it, eyes searching hers. Then she turned to Zahara, and the air shifted. Zahara smirked, leaning forward.
Mine too, go. Don't dawdle. Your master shouldn't wait for me to be served.
Melissa's jaw tightened, a flash of hate sparking in her chest, Zahara's smug face stoking it. She knelt again, but her movements stiffened.
Master, her coffee,
she said, her tone flat, slamming the cup down harder than intended. The liquid sloshed, a faint splash marking the table. Zahara laughed, sharp and taunting.
Clumsy thing. Can't even serve without a mess. Try harder, or is that too much for you?
Melissa's eyes flicked up, locking on Zahara's, a glare burning through her mask of calm. She grabbed the flatbreads next, setting the plate between them with an abrupt thud, her fingers rigid.
Master, your snacks,
she muttered to Marcus, then to Zahara.
Yours.
The word clipped, venom seeping through. She knelt again, ordered to stay there as they ate, but her shoulders hunched, her body, a taut line of reluctance. Kneeling for Marcus was one thing, but Zahara's presence twisted it into a knife. Marcus sipped his coffee, watching her. Zahara nibbled a flatbread, her smirk unwavering. Victor stepped forward, his bulk casting a shadow.
Enough,
he said, voice low, Russian accent rolling thick. He turned to Marcus, then Melissa.
She passes the poses. Her body submits, no question. But look at her.
He gestured to her rigid frame, the angry set of her jaw, the cups askew from her rough handling.
The serving's sloppy, sure, but it's more. Her mind's not in it. She obeys with her hands, not her head.
He crouched beside her, blue eyes piercing.
You glare at Zahara when she speaks. Think I don't see. You slam cups, stiffen up like a board. That's not submission, Melissa. That's going through motions. Your attitude's lacking because you don't mean it. You say the words, but they're empty. You've been reciting those affirmations without believing a damn one.
Marcus frowned, setting his cup down.
She did what I asked,
he said, voice uncertain. Victor straightened, shaking his head.
She did, but not right. Obedience isn't just acts, it's intent. She hates this, hates Zahara, maybe you too. And it shows. She's failed this test, Marcus. Not because she can't serve, but because she won't bend inside.
He glanced at Zuri.
Take her back. Affirmations next. Make her mean them.
Victor's verdict twisted in her gut. She should have left, last week, today. Zuri stepped forward, her stern face unyielding.
Up!
She barked. Melissa rose, her glare lingering on Zahara a beat too long, then followed Zuri out, the door thudding shut. Victor turned to Marcus.
She's close, but not there. Give us time, she'll learn, and so will you.
A word in private?
Victor nodded once, leading him past the yard to his office. Bare walls, a desk piled with logs, no Zahara in sight. The door shut with a click. Marcus paced, voice low.
She's been here for weeks. I barely get time with her. You've got that room for owners, right? I want her now. It's been too long.
Victor leaned against the desk, arms folded, his stare unflinching.
The conjugal room. For her. Today.
He tilted his head toward the yard where Melissa had failed.
She can't serve correctly, and you want her now. I wouldn't.
Marcus bristled.
It's my right. She's mine.
Victor's lips twitched into a tight smirk.
Sure, she's yours. Others use that room, no issue. But you, asking for this now? That's where you're going wrong. We're not just training her here. We're training you too. You want her obedient? This isn't how you start.
Marcus stopped, frowning.
What's that supposed to mean? She's my slave. Sex is part of what she owes me.
Victor straightened, his voice calm but cutting.
That's the problem, Marcus. You're treating sex like a chore she has to do. A master's closeness has to be sought by his slave girl, not pushed on her. You're undermining yourself right there.
Marcus's jaw tightened.
How's that undermining me? I'm the one giving the orders here.
Victor didn't flinch.
Because you act like you're not able to get intimacy with her unless you order her. That's not how a master behaves. You must train her to see your closeness as a reward for doing well, not a service she has to provide.
Marcus crossed his arms, skeptical.
A reward? She's here to obey, not get treats.
Victor leaned in, firm.
She's here to obey, yes. And you train that by setting it up right. You don't give her closeness for nothing. You set standards, like the task she has just failed. She meets them. You reward her with your time, your attention. Sex isn't what she owes you. It's what she earns when she does well. That's how you reinforce obedience.
Marcus nodded slowly, testing it.
So I only give it when she's good?
Victor nodded back.
Exactly. She does well. You step in. Calm. In charge. She starts to see. I obey. I get him. But it starts now. You've got to learn this from the first move.
Marcus paused, brow creasing.
Then why not now? She failed, I get that. but I've waited weeks.
Victor's eyes sharpened.
Because now's when you begin. She failed her test again. You take her now, you're not framing it as a reward. You're just taking it, like always. That's not training her to earn it. You hold off when she fails, give it when she succeeds. That's how you set the pattern.
Marcus tilted his head.
But she's already used to me ordering her. Won't she just see it as more of the same?
Victor smirked faintly.
Right now, yeah. She sees it as a chore, because that's all you've shown her. You change that starting today. Don't take her after this mess up. Wait till she gets it right. Then step in. She'll feel the difference over time. Failure gets her nothing. Obedience gets her you.
Marcus rubbed his neck, frowning.
So I'm supposed to just sit here, itching for her, until she shapes up?
Victor's smirk widened.
You're the master. You don't itch for her. You decide for her. She failed today. You don't go near her. She nails it tomorrow. You reward her. You're not waiting. You're judging her worthiness. That's your power, Marcus. Use it.
Marcus glanced out the window. Melissa shuffled back from Zuri, head bowed, still off balance. Marcus rubbed his neck, piecing it together.
Let me get this straight. I stop acting like she owes me sex. That makes me look weak, like I'm less than her. I make it a reward for when she meets my standards instead. And I don't take her now because she failed. And I've got to start showing her it's only for when she does well, right?
Victor clapped his shoulder, firm.
Spot on. You're the master. She earns you. Let her fail today. Next time she hits the mark, you'll see it work.
Victor paused, then leaned in, his voice lowering slightly.
And it's not just about sex, Marcus. Closeness, real closeness, is what you use. Slave girls need it, like plants need the sun. I mean emotional closeness. When she does well, you caress her, hold her, tell her you like what she's done, that you appreciate her. She should feel warmed by you, like she's basking in it. But when she misbehaves, like today, you pull back, withhold that warmth. She'll feel the cold, and it'll train her to seek your approval, to behave right, to get that sun again.
Marcus blinked, his frown easing.
You mean hug her, talk to her, like I used to want with her?
Victor nodded, a glint in his eye.
Exactly. You loved her once, didn't you? This is how you bring that into this. She earns your care, your attention. Start with that, and the sex follows naturally. She'll work for it, not dread it.
Marcus nodded, slower this time.
I could do that. Make her feel wanted when she's good.
Victor's smirk returned, faint but approving.
Now you're thinking like a master. Hold off today. She's in the dark. Tomorrow, if she shines, give her the sun.
Marcus watched Melissa and considered his words. Victor was right. He wasn't here to chase her. He'd hold off. The next day, Zuri summoned Melissa for one-on-one training in a narrow chamber. Shadows draped the walls. The old woman stood before her, whip rested in her hand. Her eyes glinted with a cold edge Melissa couldn't read.
Recite!
Zuri ordered, her voice cut sharp as leather. Melissa straightened. Hands stayed behind her back. She began.
I embrace slavery with pride and joy, she said.
Her tone fell flat, rehearsed.
My pleasure comes from my master's satisfaction. I desire nothing more than to please. My fulfillment lies in submission.
Zuri's hand flashed out. A sharp slap struck Melissa's cheek. Pain flared, hot and sudden.
I don't believe you, Zuri shouted. Her voice sliced the air. Again, mean it.
Melissa swallowed. Her cheek throbbed. She started over. She forced feeling into the words.
I embrace slavery with pride and joy.
Another slap landed, harder, teeth jarred.
Lies!
Zuri snapped. You mock me with that empty voice. Zuri slapped her again, the sting blurring her words into a strained rush. The old woman's strikes carried a contempt that went beyond discipline, a bitterness Melissa had sensed before but couldn't quite place. Melissa wondered if Zuri's harshness hid some pain of her own, something she glimpsed in the overseer's unyielding gaze, though its source remained a mystery to her. She held the pose, eyes locked on Zuri's, seeking an end. The old woman's gaze remained hard, unrelenting. The day after, Zuri's whip met Melissa again. The same chamber greeted her. The same commands rang out.
Recite!
Zuri demanded, her stance held firm. Whip twitched like a live thing. Melissa's voice trembled as she began. She pushed emotion into each line. Her cheek still ached from yesterday.
I embrace slavery with pride and joy.
Zuri's hand rose. Melissa braced for the blow. It landed lighter, a warning, not punishment.
Better!
Zuri grunted, her eyes narrowed.
Again.
Melissa repeated the affirmations. Her tone lifted with forced conviction. Slaps came less often. Zuri's scorn lingered, a silent jab in every glance. Melissa's speech cracked by the end. Her body tensed, punishment eased. Zuri stepped back. Whip lowered, her face showed grudging approval. The third day brought Victor. Melissa stepped into his office, relief flooded her. No whip, no shouts, just his broad frame behind the desk. Gray streaks in his hair caught the dim light. He pointed to the floor.
Kneel,
he said. His accent rolled soft over the word. She sank to her knees, the wood pressed cool against her skin. Her legs ached from days under Zuri's lash. Victor leaned forward, hands clasped, blue eyes warm, a relief after Zuri's fury. He had hired Zuri for her harshness, her glee in every slap and whip crack, to scare the girls so much that his gentle tone felt like a haven. Without her, they'd never trust him. After her, they crumbled, opening up to his calm. She terrified them all, pushing them toward him, and his fatherly voice got inside their heads. Melissa felt it now. Zuri's wrath a shadow, Victor a refuge she couldn't resist.
You make this hard on yourself, Melissa,
he said. His voice stayed low, steady.
Zuri demands your soul in those words. You fight her. Why?
Her throat tightened. His gentleness disarmed her. Zuri's slap stung in her memory, sharp, relentless, a punishment she'd flee any way she could. Victor's quiet strength offered escape.
It is difficult,
she said. Her voice barely rose. Victor nodded. He stepped back, his voice steady as he spoke. He'd seen it before, girls clinging to dreams of rescue, of freedom slipping back like a lost glove. His job was to rip that dream away, to plant the truth in their minds, that their enslavement was not temporary but permanent. Some owners believed hope kept their slaves' spirits alive, but Victor knew its unfulfilled promise turned to bitter disappointment, poisoning their minds with despair. Only by extinguishing it could they fully embrace their role, their spirits untainted by this despair. He understood that hope was the obstacle keeping them from committing. Melissa's faint spark of freedom was a stubborn barrier. His goal was to crush it, instilling the certainty that slavery was inevitable, so she could surrender mentally and find a kind of peace in her servitude, becoming the compliant, enjoyable slave the Slave Academy promised. He rose and crossed the small space. His hand lifted her from her knees. He settled her on his lap. His arm steadied her. The gesture blended strength and care. It crumbled her guard.
You resist because you don't believe,
he said.
You see yourself as a free woman, caught by some mistake, waiting for freedom to come back. That hope dies here, Melissa. You are a slave now. You will wear a collar until your last breath. If not this one, then someone else's. Like every slave in this land, you are only hurting yourself by denying this.
Her stomach twisted. His words hit hard, their weight sinking in. She wanted to argue, to clutch that fading dream. England, her old life, a day without chains. Fear of Victor, of Zuri's wrath waiting outside, kept her silent. Inside, her mind rebelled. No, she thought. This can't be forever. I'll find a way. A faint spark of defiance flared, too weak to act on, but too stubborn to fade. Her jaw clenched, a defiance she hoped he wouldn't see. Victor's eyes narrowed. He saw through her silence.
You think I don't know that look?
He said. Every girl like you starts there, denial. This isn't me, they tell themselves. I want to be free of the collar. I want to wear clothes again. I don't want to kneel before free people. I'll escape. I've seen it 100 times. But tell me, Melissa, when you fantasize about your escape, where do you run? Out there, naked, collared, how far do you get? That steel marks you. No one hides a slave here. No one helps. You can't tear it off. The jungle, the towns, the sea, all dead ends. You've nowhere to go. She swallowed hard. His words hit hard. She pictured herself escaping, running barefoot over sharp rocks, the collar around her neck, shining in the sun, strangers seeing her and shouting for bystanders to stop her. Her breath sped up. She hated him for making her see it, hated how real it felt. There's still a chance, her mind whispered, weaker now, barely holding on. He leaned closer. His tone grew firm.
Slaves like you make it worse for yourself by fighting this. You hold on to a lie, that freedom waits. It doesn't. You'll live as a slave, die as one. Zuri breaks you with pain because you force her to. I offer you a better way. Accept this, and the suffering eases. Those affirmations, they're not just words. They fit you to this life. Believe them, and you stop tearing yourself apart. That's what they give you. Peace.
Her hands rested limp on her thighs. His certainty weighed on her. She didn't want to believe, couldn't fully let go. A free Melissa lingered inside, fragile but alive, dreaming of escape. Yet his words stuck, sharp and relentless, forever? The idea chilled her. Zuri's slaps flashed in her mind, the whip's bite, the endless drills. Resistance meant more of that. Victor's voice, soft as a father's, promised relief, not freedom, but surrender. Her stomach twisted. She rejected it in her core, but fear of Zuri's cruelty tugged her toward him.
I'll try,
she said. Her voice shrank to a whisper. She forced the words, craving his nod, to dodge the old woman's wrath. Inside, dread coiled tight. Victor smiled. Satisfaction shone in his eyes. He savored this, her fear of Zuri, her turn to him. His hand patted her shoulder.
Good girl,
he murmured.
Start now. Recite.
She drew a breath, her lips parted.
I embrace slavery with pride and joy,
she began. The words came slow, heavy. Before, they fell empty, rote sounds without weight. Now they echoed Victor's truth, a fate she dreaded might take her.
My pleasure comes from my master's satisfaction.
Her voice quivered. She saw herself under Zuri's whip, crawling through exhaustion. Not just tasks, but a life without end.
I desire nothing more than to please.
Fear tinged each line, a bitter taste she couldn't swallow. She didn't mean the words, but she dreaded that one day she might accept them as true. Her chest ached as she finished. Victor's nod eased the moment, but her faint hope for freedom still lingered, too stubborn to fade. Over the next few days, Melissa followed Victor's advice. She didn't want to be slapped again by Zuri. In group drills under the sun, she recited the affirmations with an effort to sound sincere. My identity is my obedience. Her voice joined the others as they crawled through the grass. Knees and palms pressed the warm earth. Sweat ran down her face from the effort. She repeated the words day after day to prove she could obey, enough to please Zuri, enough to convince Marcus to take her out of this place. During a break from crawling, Melissa slumped beside Hannah and Jennifer, the grass damp under her knees. Carla settled a few paces away, her breath uneven, a faint tremble in her hands as she brushed sweat from her brow.
"I can't get these affirmations right,"
she muttered, rubbing her stinging cheek from Zuri's last slap. Hannah leaned in, her voice low.
"Say it like you mean it. She'll ease up if you sound eager."
Carla glanced over, a flicker of her old defiance in her green eyes, and added softly,
"Aye, or just keep your eyes down. She likes that better than any words."
Jennifer smirked, her eyes glinting with mischief.
"Or throw in a wild yes, mistress. She's vain enough to lap it up."
Melissa blinked, a slight grin tugging at her lips despite the ache, their words a comfort against Zuri's looming threat.